This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Many thanks to our guests so far, Brad Brownell, head basketball coach at Clemson, and our man Seth Nate Greenberg, rocking and rolling as he always does, breaking it down. I'm excited because we are
We are
15 minutes away from talking wrestling. You know how much I love the Friday duels, and one of the baddest men on the planet, Jake Wentzel, makes his debut. Scholar and a bad, bad man when it comes to wrestling. Pit wrestling, rocking and rolling. He comes up here at 9:15, and Courtney Banghart, who's always a blast to talk to, running the show for the North Carolina ladies on the hoops. She joins us coming up here in about a half an hour, give or take. Number for the show, by the way, 844-SAY-ACCN. You all right down there, Cartersville? Everything all right?
Two good ball games last. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, checking everything's fine. Two good games last night in the ACC. First one went to overtime down at Little John Coliseum. Clemson and NC State have played some great basketball games last handful of years. Wolfpacks won most of them. Braxton Beverly hit a shot a couple of years ago in Raleigh. We had a stick back game a couple seasons ago as well. I mean, so they're always deliver, right? They're really good. Last night, no exception. Coach Brownell was with us earlier on the show. NC State got off to a hot start. Clemson had to scrap back last night. We had big shots going down the stretch in regulation. Not the best night offensively for Amir Sims. Clyde Trapp slides baseline there. Got a little bit of everything. There's Hemingway knocking one down from out on the highway to Anderson. There goes Jonathan Bear baseline. This turned into a tremendous game. Nick Honor hit the big shot, by the way, to get it to overtime. And then the freshman P.J. Hall got a bucket in overtime to seal it up for the Tigers last night, who end up winning 74-70, first overtime conference game of the year down at Little John.
P.J. Hall's going to be a good player. You heard Coach talking about it last hour. 36 of Clemson's 74 points coming off the bench. They've got depth. NC State shot lights out in the first half, had the lead. We're up 9 in the second half. And just could not make a field goal down the stretch. I mean, really, Funderburk makes a shot with about 7.5 to go, and NC State never made another field goal in regulation. But a game it felt like NC State had control of the game. It was their game to lose. They were kind of dictating policy and everything else and just couldn't figure out a way to close it and give Clemson credit for finding a way. You mentioned Amir Sims, and even when Brad Brownell was on with us last hour, talked about the two mini hooks that he made. One was with the right hand, one was with the left hand, but a really competitive, high-efficiency game. There weren't a whole lot of turnovers. Both teams played extremely well. Both teams had runs. And like I said, leading off the show today, Wes, I trust both of these teams based on what I've seen. I think they're going to have something to say about the ACC championship, both of them. They are that good. Again, I'm waiting to see more of Duke and more of Virginia. North Carolina is still North Carolina. Florida State's loaded. The Blue Bloods, Louisville, I really like them too. Virginia Tech, Louisville game, that's why I'm excited to see how that plays out because I think those two teams have a shot. So we keep talking about the glob. We just got done talking about it. The glob's going from the middle to the top, and it's kind of an ebb and flow. You're waiting to see who's going to take true ownership and be that alpha dog in the ACC. And again, I think there's probably 5 or 6 teams right now in that mix. Two of those played last night in Little John.
Yeah, no doubt whatsoever. I think that you start looking at the way they're built, and Nick Honor coming off the bench last night doing something that hadn't really been done in the last 10 years, with the exception of Jordan Roper, who hits now multiple threes, shoots at least 80% from three in multiple games in the same season. Roper, by the way, one of the great kids and super player for Brad Brownell in the early teams. And I just look at where Clemson is, and likewise with NC State, Tupac. I think NC State's there. They've got the staying power. They've got enough depth to do it. Like some of their young players, but those veteran guys, they're going to be a factor, I think.
Yeah, Funderburk being back really helps. He's a really, really good player. He was terrific last night. Daniels contributed, scoring a bunch of points. NC State's got guys that can get hot and say, get on my back and let's go. Again, I like Kevin Keats' club too. I think they're going to be tough out. But that was a really high energy. It's a shame we didn't have a ton of fans, right? I mean, just wished the place was packed because it would have been fantastic. But the quality of play in that game last night was one of the best college games I've seen this year. It was that good. So I think, again, if you're a State fan, you're bummed out with the loss because you kind of felt, man, we could have won that one, should have won that one. And it's a shame, Wes, as you pointed out, it's the only time we're going to see him in the regular season. But it would not surprise me if those two hooked up at least another time in the postseason. They're that good, and they're that the quality. I like both clubs a bunch.
Yep. Other ball game last night, packed down at Coral Gables, ended up being a close ball game. Might not have been as artistically pleasing as the Tigers and the Wolfpack, and that was Miami and North Carolina. The Tar Heels get a critical road win, 67-65 last night in a game that at times, Pack, they were down almost double figures a couple of times. And then we had great plays made, Pack. Leaky Black was shooting it. I've never seen him shoot it like this before. Dan, what's happening with Leaky Black? And look at Isaiah Wong. You got to get in his hands late. So we had all that last night.
We had a lot of that last night. Leaky was 4-for-4 from three, but I still will go back to his block shot. That was one of the all-time highlights. But Leaky Black brought it, and North Carolina was down 10. I mean, again, Miami, much like NC State, was in a position with about 7-8 minutes to go in control. You got to go close the deal. And for a team like Miami, listen, they had four returning starters. They were all injured and didn't play. Jim Larrañaga is basically playing with both hands behind his back, and they found a way. They kind of scrapped and clawed, but had the game. There's the shot by Wong. He went 7 minutes without a bucket until that one, and then the heels came down, and here is your game winner. Playtech, baseline, good, and then Miami, go figure, at the very last heave from three quarters, almost makes the shot after not being able to throw it in the ocean forever. Here's the shot. Just this thing goes right off the rim. Bang. But, man, what a heartbreaker for Miami. Three consecutive losses by a grand total of 5 points. And, again, Jim's playing with everybody. They're the walking wounded right now in Coral Gables. So, tough times for Miami. But for North Carolina, hey, find a way to win the game and move on. That's back-to-back wins. First Notre Dame over the weekend by two. You win last night. Actually, by one, and you win by two last night. So, if you're Roy Williams, hey, man, scoreboard, 2-2. You get ready for the next game, and that's Clemson coming to Chapel Hill.
All right, let's go to the calls, 844-SAY-ACCN. Stuart in North Carolina. Stuart, hello.
Hey, guys, really enjoy your show. A lot of respect for each of your fathers, a lot of childhood memories from the past. So I appreciate you guys and what you're doing for ACC basketball in general. I wanted to get back to this glob that you were talking about. And what we've seen over the years is we've gone from ACC conference games from 14 to 16 to 18 to 20. Do you think that we'll ever get to a true round robin like we did when we had 8 and 9 teams in the league? And if so, who wins and who loses in this scenario?
It's a good question. Wes, I don't know.
I would say that if we were going to do a true round robin, we should have done it this year.
Or at least tried.
If we were going to do it, we should have done it this year.
Yeah, at least tried.
Yeah.
You know, when you start talking about 15 teams in a league, round robin gives you 28 games. I just don't see head coaches in this conference going, okay, yeah, we'll play 28 conference games, and that gives us the ability to play – I don't know, 2, 3 non-conference games. You throw in the ACC Big Ten Challenge.
NTE.
I don't think that's feasible. Quite frankly, given expansion, really the only conference that has a perfect fit is the Big 12. And the reason for it is they have 10 teams. That means you play 18 conference games, which they do home and home. That's the perfect number because that certainly would give you tons of flexibility. However you want to schedule a non-conference. So when we went to expansion, this is true for the SEC, the Big Ten, Pac-12, and really the ACC in particular. I think those days are over, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, Stuart, your question is really good, and it's a discussion point. But here's the thing. I could get you closer to a round robin, but you wouldn't like the answer in whole and in totality, because you would lose some of the other options that your school would have for scheduling. You could go to 28, or, oh, by the way, we could do what the Southeastern Conference started doing. Remember, Pac, when they first went to an expansion? Remember when they went divisions in basketball? Remember that? You play everybody in your division twice, and you rotate the others? You know, and then they put, well, wait a second, we're not getting through the league enough. That's what the ACC found out this year by playing the 10 league games and taking down the division walls is, hey, boy, that schedule flexibility was pretty good. I don't know that we'll ever play the 28. I can't see it, because the season is already maxed out. Plus, you've got so many schools that are in demand to play the MTE, the multi-team event, or a made-for-TV doubleheader like the CBS Sports Classic or the Champions Classic, things of that nature. I think it makes it difficult. Now, to the point we have from last night, Mark, and I'll add this. It would be good if we knew we had a better chance. We know Duke Carolina typically delivers, right? But we get NC State and Clemson in early January and may not see it again. That's kind of a shame, right? I mean, but do you know that going into a specific season?
Right.
And if you do, how much flexibility you want to give yourself? Is that a post-pandemic lesson? It's clearly one in football. I think that we've all come to the realization we really don't need to be scheduling 6, 8, 10, 12, and 20 years down the road in football. We can probably get away with 2 to 4 as the max. But in basketball, I'm not sure what we're going to learn yet. We got to get through it first.
I think it's impossible, to be honest with you, unless we just completely change the rules of college basketball. 28 conference games, I don't think that happens, period. I mean, you've all but eliminated any opportunities with your non-conference schedule, unless you're going to say, hey, we're going to have a 40-game college basketball schedule, which I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon either. So I think with expansion, I think the days of home-and-home series and college basketball for the ACC are long gone, in my opinion.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, on a Wednesday. I'm excited because we have a new debut coming here. And Wes, a year ago, I happened to just channel surfing on a Friday night, ran across ACC Network Friday Duels. And I went, man, we missed out on wrestling on this show. And now it's become a staple, and the boys are back. So we bring on Jake Wentzel from Penn. What you got before we get to this? Go ahead.
Once again, it's important to remind our audience – we're talking about wrestling. We're not talking about wrestling.
That's right. Exactly right. This is not off the top ring rope. Okay. That's exactly right. Nature boy Ric Flair ain't walking in through that door. All right? But Jake Wentzel is from Pitt
Jake
Wrestling.
Jake Wentzel is, though.
Yes, sir. Let's bring Jake on here. Jake, first of all, good morning, man. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
All right. Now, listen, I am excited that we got wrestling cranked up again. Defending champ, ACC, Buck 65. What have we done to improve from a year ago?
It's been pretty difficult with the coronavirus going on, but I'm just doing anything I can, getting workouts in over the summer, lifting, staying on program. And the University of Pittsburgh, we got lucky that we have a pretty good athletic staff. So we were allowed to come into our facilities and have team workouts pretty early compared to all the other schools. I think we were working out with our team in the summer while other schools had to wait until like September, October. So we got to jump on that, but just doing whatever I can to stay fit and stay ready for this season.
Jake, we have talked to athletes in a variety of sports throughout the fall. Take us through the difficulty and the challenges of collegiate wrestling. You guys wrestled Navy last weekend to a victory, 22-14. But let's get to the challenges of the sport here. We've talked to volleyball, we've talked to soccer, we've talked to everybody. From travel to practice to workouts, what's the biggest hurdle for you?
I think the biggest hurdle for everybody in the sport of wrestling would be the cutting weight aspect. It's almost like we do two sports because if you can't beat the scale, then you can't wrestle in the duel. So you have to make weight first. That's the first priority, and then get on the mat. And not only just make weight, but you have to do it and be able to wrestle an hour later and feel good. So that's probably the biggest hurdle in wrestling.
Jake, during the off season, you know, it's one thing to say, listen, I'm lifting weights, I'm running, I'm doing whatever cardio, you watch your weight, what your intake is. I get all that stuff. But in terms of practice, given that it's COVID, we got a pandemic, keep a social distance. How do you practice? I know that sounds crazy, but how do you practice?
So I was lucky that my high school coach actually has a club. So I was able to get the keys and go work out in his wrestling room. And some of my roommates here at the University of Pittsburgh, I'm with them every day. So it's not like we're risking each other's safety with contact tracing or anything. We live together.
Yeah.
So we just go down and wrestle in his wrestling room and wash the mats after when we're done, make sure we were safe. But I got pretty lucky. I know a lot of people weren't as fortunate as me being able to wrestle over the summer.
And I would think, now call me crazy, and you can walk us through this. I would think, given how everybody was, you know, you're in your home, you're in your apartment, whatever the case may be, everybody's boxed up. You got to have all kinds of energy and frustration that you can't live a normal life. Now you get a chance to go. You got some buds, like you said, you go hang out. I would think as a wrestler, the buildup of energy would be crazy. Like, you got a chance to finally wrestle somebody during a pandemic, you'd go nuts, right? I mean, you almost got to tone it back a little bit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And last year really proved the point that you never know when your last competition is going to be with the national tournament getting pulled. So, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with this season. That the Navy duel could have been my last duel of the season.
Hmm.
So, I mean, just going out there and competing like it is my last time, I think every match you need to go in with that energy, especially in these weird times.
Jake, obviously you won the ACC last year. You're one of the highest ranked guys in your weight class. So given the uncertainty of kind of how this season may go, how precious is just the opportunity and the chance to get to do it?
It means everything, just being able to get out and compete. You only have a certain amount of years in your life where you're able to do this. And after college, the only thing in wrestling is Olympics, which, I mean, I'm not there, so I have no aspirations of winning an Olympic title. So, I mean, this year and the next year is my last year to ever compete in pretty much anything physical ever again. So just cherishing every moment. It's pretty fun.
I always am intrigued by wrestlers and swimmers in particular, in terms of intake and staying in incredible shape. When you have a situation where, you know, hey, competition wise, I'm not sure what it's going to look like. You mentioned the battle with the scale. When all of a sudden you get the holiday season, we go Thanksgiving, we go Christmas and everything else, how difficult is that as a wrestler? When, again, if somebody brings up a dozen donuts around me, I'm swallowing whole. But knowing the discipline that you need to keep that weight, how tough is it during the holidays when you weren't sure what a COVID season was going to look like? I mean, you, again, walk us through that from a daily intake standpoint. When it isn't in a routine like you guys are normally in?
The holidays, this was actually my first Thanksgiving in probably 8 years that I was able to eat. So I enjoyed that. But it's not too difficult to stay away from the things that you shouldn't be eating. But, I mean, every once in a while you will slip up. It's impossible to stay completely healthy the entire season. And, I mean, I don't think anybody's ever done that. I wouldn't recommend you do that. But it's more of a you're missing out thing when you see your friends going out to eat or they're doing something. And you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to eat chicken and rice for the fifth time this week and stay in.
I'm going to tell you now, Pittsburgh is a great food town. I don't know how you do it. I mean, I know you've got a discipline of, hey, you know what? I'm the defending ACC champ. You know, I got to do that. But how in the world do you do that, Jake, where you just say, hey, my buddies are over there eating another double cheeseburger and I'm over there eating some kale? I mean, how do you go about the mental makeup of that? I've never understood how people can pull that off.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just what makes wrestlers wrestlers.
That's
it. It takes a certain type of person to want to do this, and especially to do it at this level. It's not like everybody can do it, and that's what makes us us.
All right, so when you go to binge, like when all of a sudden you let your guard down for the first time in, I don't know, months, what's the go-to, like, hey, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do this. What is it for you? What is that? What's the hook?
Ooh. Pizza and chicken wings.
That's it.
Wow.
That's about
gets me every time.
Nice. That's about me four or five times a week right there, my man. Let me just tell you. That's why, you know what, that's why when we got the duels on a Friday night on ACC Network, you know, I was sitting around on the couch with my wife, and she's like, boy, this is really the most exciting action that you guys have on ACC Network. I'm looking at her like, what are you talking about? As again, I'm stuffing my face with another piece of pizza. So, you know, you guys have gotten the job done. That's why, again, wrestlers and swimmers, to me, have an incredibly mental break where they just say, no, you got to keep the weight, man. It's all about staying trim, fit to do your thing. So I applaud you for that, because that's hard to do.
All right, Jake, here's our last question, at least from me. You're a Pittsburgh native, went to South Park. How do you feel about the Steelers this Sunday?
Oh,
I must say, I'm not a big sports fan. It's weird coming from Pittsburgh. Everybody's a diehard Steeler fan, diehard Penguins fan. I pretty much only watch MMA, boxing, and wrestling, so I couldn't even tell you who the Steelers are playing, to be honest.
Good.
How about there that answer?
Okay. Hopefully they win. That's it. That's what I want to hear.
All right, I'm going to ask you an easier question.
I like that.
I'm going to ask you an easier question, because we do this with every student athlete. What has been the hardest class you've had at Pitt?
The hardest class I had at Pitt was one of my first classes. I came into Pitt wanting to be a finance major, and that changed real quick when I took Intro to Finance.
Mm.
So that was definitely my hardest class. Switched up my career path a little bit.
So what'd you switch to?
I switched to accounting.
Wow. All right. All right, so we don't – let me get this right now. Pizza, wings, the go-to. We're in accounting. Have no idea who the Steelers are playing. But let me ask you one more question. When it comes to ACC wrestling, we know NC State's building a great program. The league is really improved top to bottom. Do you have a handle on the rest of the league? Or is it just to the point where, hey, during this COVID thing, we just don't know?
What do you mean by that?
I talked about the league, top to bottom. Again, we know you guys are doing your thing, but have you kept an eye on what everybody else in the conference is going to look like for 21 in wrestling?
Yeah, everybody should be pretty tough. I believe we have four or five of the teams out of the six in the ACC that have wrestling teams are ranked in the top 25. I think we have three in the top 10. So, I mean, it's a pretty tough conference. I'd say probably the toughest conference in wrestling outside of the Big Ten. But as far as my weight goes, I mean, I won the ACC last year, but I lost to Kennedy Monday in the duel. I lost to Thomas Bullard in the duel. And then we got the returning national champ, Makai Lewis, coming back. So some people have me seated third or fourth in the ACC, and I won last year. So it'll be exciting. It's a pretty competitive weight class, and I'm excited to see how it turns out.
Well, stay healthy, my man. Again, we're rooting for all you guys. Jake, the wrestling in the league is really good. And we appreciate it. Again, Happy New Year and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Many thanks to all of our guests, including Jake Wentzel, who just joined us. Pitt wrestler. We switch gears entirely as Wes works on his fourth cup of coffee. And we go to Chapel Hill, North Carolina, where Courtney Banghart joins us, the head coach of the women's team. There's Courtney. First of all, Courtney, Happy New Year. Hope life's treating you okay.
I'm right back at you. Thanks for having me on. It's fun to see you again.
Always a pleasure. Hey, have we figured out a way to get the schedule set where all you do is play in Carmichael? Because if that's the case, I love your chances.
Have we figured out, anytime you put "have we figured out" and "schedule" in the same sentence, you're already wrong.
That's a good point. I mean, how, really, seriously, how crazy has this been? I mean, we were kidding around with you beforehand. Man, literally every hour, right? Head on a swivel. You just have no earthly idea what could come your way, and you just have to be flexible.
Yeah, I mean, the first time we were supposed to play Louisville, we ended up in Miami, and that was a train wreck a little bit. And then we came back, and we're supposed to play Syracuse, and then we Pitt and Louisville. And so we've now fully prepared for all three teams and played none of them. So the coaches are working, and the kids are watching Netflix. Mm.
Well, that brings me to the next part of this. I'm always enjoy our visits because I know how much you study leadership and talk about those type things, and you follow CEOs and other great leaders in all sorts of disciplines. How much of that's helped this year?
Yeah, you know, this is really uncharted waters. I think what has helped is that I think I try to be really steady. Try to be steady in that what we're focusing on, which is we get 1% or so better every day. And we're going to play who and where and when someone else tells us. That's not really in our control. And so our kids have really taken this like champs. They come every day, like ready to get better. We watch ourselves on film every day. And they have their bags packed, and sometimes they don't. The last time we were on the practice floor, getting ready we're leaving that day for Louisville. And our SWA was there, and I was like, this is odd. And our senior, Janelle Bailey, asked me, hey, are we going to get out on time? Because I still have to throw the last couple of things in my bag. And I was like, yeah, we're scheduled to be out an hour ahead of time, as always. And I could tell something wasn't so right. And then our director of ops came over and said, not to disrupt you, but we're not going. And I was like, not to disrupt me. I mean, that's sort of what we're here for. So, yeah, it's just we pivot quickly. I didn't tell the team we finished practice. I didn't tell the team we just finished practice. And then I said, hey, guys, no rush. We're going to play somebody else some other time. And they just were like, oh, you know. So yeah, we just kind of stay ready. And I think hopefully my steadiness is helping.
You know, we had Jeff Walls on the show last week, and he's like, hey, I'm just reaching out to anybody. If you can come up with five players, we'd love to play you. He even threw in some of Kentucky's best bourbon. I said, listen, I'll have five girls in the back of the pickup. We'll drive up to Louisville if that bourbon deal's out there. I know you haven't played in a couple weeks, but seriously, how do you knock the rust off? I mean, it's one thing to practice. It's another thing to, hey, if you have some free time, shoot around and run some drills. But it's totally different than actually playing a game.
Yeah, we actually thought it might be a good time to play Louisville because they hadn't played in so long. So that was part of our thing, is that they'll be, you know, they'll have some rust, and they clearly did based on the first score against UT Martin with yesterday's. But now, unfortunately, we're flipping that, and now that's us. So, yeah, how do you shake the rust? I don't know. Hopefully, we run it out of them. That's my goal.
Well, the goal is to play Miami this weekend and then get going with Virginia Tech, hopefully, next week. Courtney, when you look at Janelle Bailey, who you just mentioned a moment ago, she's off to a great start for you. What's that presence been like for your team and this particular team to have her back?
Yeah, I think especially with Janelle being so experienced, and we don't have any experience, that's been really helpful. But Janelle's turning point was she's always had a voice, always had a presence, and always had a talent. But she hadn't always yet been able to really lead herself. And she has come so far, you know, obviously with her fitness level and the way she has gotten this young team to sort of operate the way we want them to, it shows kind of her growth. And so I think Janelle has sometimes been misunderstood, and the version that you're seeing now is the version she's worked very hard for. And then, of course, her experience on the floor, her numbers have to matter. And they do.
It seems like, and again, it's an early sample size within the league, but it seems like Louisville and NC State have certainly established themselves as national powers. You can tell that based, number one, watching the games, and number two, where they are in the rankings. And then there seems to be, as we call it, a glob with the men. Same thing with the ladies. And you're part of like this next tier that somebody's going to break through. And again, you're in the latest net, I think you're 21st now in the net, but between you guys and Syracuse and, you know, Notre Dame's playing much better, Georgia Tech's done a nice job, Clemson's had their moments. There seems to be a pack of about five or six teams that you're just kind of waiting to see who emerges from that group to go ahead and challenge Louisville and NC State. Do you feel that you're on the cusp of saying, guess what, we're ready to make that run?
You know, I do. I did anyway, I should say. You know, obviously, like you said, we haven't played in a while now, so there might be some adjustment there. But, you know, every minute we get, even in practice with this young team, I mean, we often have four freshmen on at a time. And the way they've committed to the process and really they are better. I mean, me watching the Miami game from last time out, as I told them yesterday or last night, it hurt my soul, you know. And so to see us play so much better in the film I'm watching every day now is proof. And we just have to take care of what we can take care of. We might have to play NC State 10 times. I don't know. But whatever it ends up happening, we just got to – every time we have a chance to play, we have to play well because I don't know how many games we'll get in, and I know who's watching. So we've got to play well every chance we get.
Courtney, the other thing that comes to mind with me is that we found this out in visiting with football coaches and to a degree with soccer and other fall sports. The communication between the coaches has to be pretty good here, right? We know you want to compete. Everybody's trying to win. But you guys have to stay in contact with one another in order for this thing to be pulled off and be successful. From your standpoint, being in a second year, and you know, there are a lot of younger coaches in the league. What's that been like?
You know, I remember the first cancellation was Louisville, and I get back to the office literally from practicing for Louisville. And I got a call from Jeff who said, you know, hey, I don't know if we're going to play. I've not heard from our SWA, but we got some positives. And I just really appreciated that. So when we had a similar challenge, I reached out, you know, as quickly as I could to Katie Meyer to say from Miami to say, I don't know when we're going to be pulled off of this. And so, you know, we don't get to schedule, unfortunately. You know, sometimes I sort of say, let us just figure out how to make this work. But understandably, they're going to keep us out of that. But just the collegiality of understanding what we're all going through. And that's been helpful just to have each other kind of say, we got this. And we don't know what it's going to look like, but we got this. Because as you guys remember, I was on the phone with Katie Meyer and the ACC at like 11 p.m. on that Friday when we were figuring out, are we going to Miami in place of Louisville? And as Katie and I said, usually when it's 11 p.m. and we're together, we're having a glass of wine. And this was very different. So, yeah, we're figuring out as we go what
to do.
There
always,
was no wine on that call.
I was going to say, I've always found a glass of wine helps every matter in some shape, way, or form. And that never hurts. By the way, on a serious note, have you got a sense with your team from a mental standpoint that since this has been going on now since March – that they're in a better position to handle this? Or do you still find yourself that, hey, there are serious mental challenges with your team? I'm not even talking about playing basketball now. I'm just talking about studies, socially, all the other things that are really vitally important here.
Yeah, I think I hope, honestly, that we're through that. I was really worried about it and really attuned to it in the fall because this is, as I told my guys, remember, my guys are all so young, so they don't really know the difference, right, between what it used to be and what it is now. But I said, I know you came to Carolina assuming that college was cooler than high school. And it is. It's just not right now, right? And we sort of met that head on and ended up finding ways to entertain them and to be around them and to do it in a safe place. But I felt really, part of Carolina's charm is that the environment that you have on campus, and that's been really stripped from them. So I hope we're through it because now it's all they know, really, and they're really used to it. And now this is when it matters the most because they want to play. So there's a lot at stake for them to stay healthy. And so I'm less worried about it now, but I was highly anxious about it and very attuned to it in the fall.
Final thing for me, when you start to think about kind of the way this could go, what you know about your team and what you ultimately want your team to be, I got to believe that's a wider spectrum now than it's maybe ever been just simply because of what we're dealing with, right?
Yeah, you know, I think, again, fortunately with so many young guys, I mean, they don't know what they're used to, right? They don't know what's supposed to be. And so I think this is an NCAA tournament team. I tell them that, and it's for them to prove it. And if they want to stop getting better right now, then we're going to be at the record we're at. And so, you know, I have high hopes for this team. And like you guys said, there's a lot of teams that are kind of fighting for that sort of third place in our league currently spot. And why not us? Right. And so, I think I've got high hopes for this group, and I'm not going to worry about them being young.
Courtney, we have a show on ACC Network called In Play, and their signature question to guests is apple juice or orange juice. So I'm going to kind of steal a page from them. And I'm going to ask you, and I've never asked this to any guest. We've done 293 shows, but since you just brought it up with Katie Myers, red or white?
Oh, that's a no-brainer. That's a red.
Red. Okay. You and me both.
Red. That's morning, noon, and night, my friend. Yeah. Red.
You and me both. We're on the same page. That's why I know I've always liked you, Courtney.
Morning, noon, and night.
I'll put Katie on blast. She's in red, too.
All right. There you go. We're going to start that on our show. Forget apple orange juice.
Well,
that's for kids.
Better yet. I have a better answer now that I'm – I'll actually go with whiskey. How about that?
Oh. No, wait a minute. Now we're talking.
That's COVID. That's because of COVID. Get stronger.
You have just gone to the top tier with us. All right. When you go brown water, it's a whole.
Yep.
I tell you, we're going to have to bring you back for another show.
You've gone to the
brown water only conversation. I love it.
I'm in.
Well, there stay safe. Yeah. Always a pleasure.
All right. You guys too. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Thanks, Courtney. You bet. Courtney Banghart, head women's coach at North Carolina. Fantastic as always. Quick note, I don't think we're starting anything on Packer and Durham, but we got to be careful. After our visit with Elisa Cunane yesterday of NC State, not long after that, the Wolfpack announced Wes Moore's club had a positive test within their Tier 1 group. So they've got a pause in activities, and knock on wood, we're not going to put anybody else on that list to follow being a guest.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Fun show, good guest. Always fun. Courtney's a riot now. I've got an idea for ACC Network after our conversation with Courtney.
Great.
You ready? You ready for this?
Do you really?
I do.
Yeah.
And
sure.
She just went for this. Just my personal list. She just went to upper tier when she took a red or white question and went brown water answer. I'm just telling you, my respect level for her was always high. She's very intelligent. She's done a great job in a short period of time in Chapel Hill. But from my perspective, she just went to another tier on my favorites as far as guests. So I'm just thinking next time ACC Network needs to do one of those mega casts, Wes, I think we get Katie Meyer down there at Miami. We get Courtney Banghart there at North Carolina. And they put us in a room, and I don't care what the sporting event is. Let us get a head start. And we will give you live commentary. I don't care.
That's where you were going.
I don't care what the sport is on ACC Network. The four of us could handle that. Red, white, and brown.
Yeah.
Three important colors. We can handle it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks to Courtney Banghart. Thanks to Jake Wentzel, Seth Greenberg,
Nate,
Brad Brownell, all a part of this show. Kenny Brooks, the women's Nate. Yeah, thanks. Kenny Brooks, the women's basketball coach at Virginia Tech, who's got one of the league's top players in Elizabeth Kitley, will join us tomorrow. Look forward to having Coach Brooks back. Always a fun visit.
He is good.
Plus, we'll recap a busy night of ACC basketball, including a triple header that starts on this program, starts on this network at 4:30 this afternoon. Pitt and Syracuse. Mike Cousins and Jordan Cornette will have the call for you from the Dome. Then at 6:30, number 19, Virginia Tech is at Louisville. Mike Young's club on the road. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner have the call of that. And then at 8:30, Boston College and number 21, Duke. And that'll be Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee on our coverage here on ACC Network. And also Wake Forest at Virginia. Bennett Conlon's story in the Daily Progress. Tony Bennett on the bench, but a couple of assistants probably not on the bench tonight, as well as a couple scholarship players for the Cavaliers as they come out of a pause in their activities that actually started right around New Year's Day.
The good thing about today, who knows how those games are going to play out, but the good news is we're going to finally start seeing some teams play again. And I kept emphasizing Wake and Duke and Virginia and Syracuse, and with all these pauses, it's going to be great to see them back in action. Pitt's certainly going through some tough times too with Champagne and others. But I will tell you, that Louisville game with Virginia Tech, to me, feels like yesterday when we were talking about NC State Clemson. Those are two teams that absolutely have an opportunity to be in the upper tier, and that is a really interesting early challenge. I know it's January 6th, but that is a game of note. Of the games being played today, that's the one that jumps off the page to me to see how that plays out with that backcourt from Louisville and the way the Hokies have gotten off to such a great start, really with the exception of the Penn State game. They've been terrific. So that is an interesting lineup of games just to see, number one, teams get back in action, and then what we think is going to be the marquee game with Virginia Tech and Louisville, and we got it right here on ACC Network, which is great.
Yeah, and hopefully we are able to get through the rest of this week and get back to some normalcy on both the men's and the women's side. Georgia Tech paused their activities yesterday on the men's side ahead of their game with Notre Dame that was postponed from tonight. And we told you NC State's women's program went on a pause yesterday as well. So at least for the time being, those two schools probably up in the air a little bit from a scenario of participation. Tough times, though, Pac. We'll see if we can get a handle on it more about how some of the rescheduling also takes place as the week goes on, and maybe have some information for you toward the weekend.
Yep, and one other thing, too. It's to go to the highs and lows as a sports fan, coach, player, whatever. 7 years ago tonight, Florida State beat Auburn in the last BCS National Championship game. I was in the Rose Bowl that night. It was a fabulous football game. Auburn got up to the big lead. Fake punt, all of a sudden, here comes Jimbo Boys and all that stuff, Jameis Winston. And it was just an incredible back-and-forth game. The final BCS National Championship game was at the Rose Bowl, Florida State with a win 7 years ago. And now today, you think, hey, Mike Norvell, tag, you're it. Let's go figure this thing out and get the Noles back to prominence. It just goes to show you, Wes, you can go from top of the mountain to kind of rock bottom and work yourself back up. You know, nothing ever stays the same. I don't care what sport you pick. You know what? There's always a sense of adjustment. You got to figure it out. But it's hard to believe 7 years ago tonight, Florida State was on top of the college football world.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.